Y'all okay tonight? Okay, I'm not 100% sure about me. All right, so we're on our fourth installment of what of I Love God's Ways. Let's say it together, I love God's ways. I love God's ways. And I wonder, when we say that, or when you say that, if you even really know what you're saying. Did you even know that God has a way about going about things, and then human beings have another way to go about things, right? But the Bible, and this is why I'm saying, you know, on these Saturday night services, I'm like starting from fresh, and I am teaching what I believe to be the absolute most important things that Christians need to know to be a Christian and to survive and thrive as a believer in our world. And so that's, I'm getting down to the basics, to the foundations. And the most basic thing about the Bible is the Bible was written so that man could know what God's ways are and how they're different from man's ways, right? And let's read together from Ezekiel 33:13. This was one of Moses. Moses is one of the first guys that show up in the Bible. And this is a revelation that he had as he found out that this God, you know, who was in this burning bush and all this stuff, you know, that this God is a being who he can get to know and know who he is. Let's read it together and aloud. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. All right. So if you want to know God, what do you have to know? His ways. If you want to know somebody, what do you have to know? You have to know their ways. Like, I mean, the first time that I saw Nancy, maybe the first time that she saw me, right? This was quite a ways back. I thought, that's a cute little girl, right? And she probably thought, wow, look at that muscular dude. I need to get to know him, right? But that's all perception, right? To get to know her, I had to know what? Her ways. I didn't know. How does she respond in situations? What does she do in particular situations? And of course, I found out that she cooks a lot of the meals for her family, and she, you know, has all these skills and talents, and she loves God and all this stuff. It's like, wow, your ways are pretty cool, and they're a lot like my ways. I think we could be compatible. I think we could make this work, right? So to know somebody, you have to know their ways. So many people say, oh, I know, I believe in God, I know God, and yet they don't know a thing about his ways. So in this, we're talking about God's ways, and a way is just simply an often used path that we usually do, and a path, a way, always has a destination in mind, right? Am I right? Right? It's hunting season. You know, guys know hunting season. I always talk about hunting. You find a deer path. That deer path's going to go where? Come on, Mark. Where's it going to go? Huh? Where you need to be. Okay. It's either going to go to food, water, or bedding. It's going to go one of those three places. There's a destination in mind. You look at these roads. This road was built to go somewhere, right? If you have a way, that way is because you want to get somewhere in your life. There's something that you want to accomplish in your life, and you have watched your parents, you've watched other people, for whatever reasons, this is the way that you go about getting those results or getting to that place that you want to get in life, right? And so, when we talk about ways, it's the way that we typically respond in situations. Let's read together about God's ways a little bit. This is all rehash, right? But I got to keep coming back to build this foundation. And it's not old, right? And I need to hear this, so you need to hear it too. It's together and aloud. His ways are always prosperous. How often? Always. His ways will always take you where? Prosperity. Always. Huh. Didn't know that. I thought he took us to poverty. I thought he took us to suffering. I thought he took... No. His ways always take us to prosperity. Let's read on. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Okay? Ways and paths, they're synonymous. They're really the same word. Let's read on. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of the covenant. We're going to read these scriptures because I want you to understand, God's got a way to go about stuff. God's got a way. And it's probably not your way. unless you have purposely changed from doing things your way and accepted and adopted God's ways. Now, here's what you don't have to live your entire life your way or man's way. The thing is, we can change. In fact, the entire Bible is written so that we can change and learn and follow God's way of living. Because if we do that, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Right? Let's read on. Deuteronomy 10:12. Now, Israel, what does the Lord require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And then Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I come, they may have life and have it abundantly. To live life God's way, you have to accept that your way, the way you naturally go about things, is not God's way. You might have partially God's way, you might have sometimes God's way, but naturally, man does not do things God's way. And if we're proud, we refuse to accept that, and we think, no, I'm pretty much always right, and whatever I do is pretty much right, and I don't want to hear about anything different. What does God say in Isaiah 55:8? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Let's read on. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? And in Psalm 81, if my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways. God wants us to know and follow his ways, because his ways take us to abundant life. Where do man's ways take us? Proverbs 14:12, together and aloud, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We've talked about this before, so this message is not about this. But you have to understand that all around us, when people are just going about things the way that they would naturally do it, what you see is marriages ending, you see strife, you see people hurting each other, you see all this ridiculous, crazy stuff going on, and everybody thinks it's normal. That's the way it's supposed to be. And God says, no. Man's ways leads to death. Death of relationships, death of jobs, of careers, of prosperity. You name every good thing, if we just pursue things our way, it's eventually going to circle the drain and go down. And in fact, I believe, I've been in the ministry now how many years? 40 years? My word, that seems like a long time. I have sat and listened to thousands of hours of folks talking to me about their difficulties and about their problems. And they are literally in a death spiral, whether it be in their marriage, in their daily habits, in their careers, in their final, they're in a death spiral, and they don't know how to pull up and get out of it. They don't know. Because they are so ingrained in doing things man's way, and the way that I always did them. To pull up out of that death spiral, you have to change the way that you're going about life and start doing it God's way. And you will pull up out of that death spiral. How many people have I sat and listened to talk about, I just don't think this is going to work. We have to get a divorce. It's not going to work. She's so different from me. He's so different from me. We can't. She's got her ways. He's got his ways. Yeah. We have our ways, and our natural ways lead to what? Death. If we want if we want life, what do we have to do? We have to go about that relationship God's way. And then we'll pull up out of that death spiral, and next thing you know, we'll start, instead of going down, we'll start going up and up and up as the draft lifts us up, as God's word lifts us up. What do I mean by that? Well, let me just give you an example real quick. Man's way. Pretty much every marriage, every relationship, sooner or later, gets into a death spiral of blaming the other person for whatever problems there are. That's a death spiral. If you only wouldn't spend that money, if you only wouldn't do that, if you only wouldn't, you know, I mean, blame the other person for whatever the difficulty is in our life. If we're going to pull up out of that, we've got to change from that way, a man's way of blaming somebody else. And let's take a marriage. In a marriage, you chose to marry that person. Hey, did you make a good choice or not? If you did, then you're going to tell them, you are the best thing that ever happened to me. When they say they want to do something, you say, yeah, sure, go ahead. One of the hardest things I ever had to learn was in a marriage, there's no room for the word no to your partner. People want to say, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. When you marry somebody, you're there to be, yes, and I'm going to help you. Yes, and I'm going to pray for you. Yes, how can I make this happen for you? That's God's way to start, pull out of the negativity and start rising. Because he said, if any two of you shall agree together in prayer, it shall be done for you by your Father in heaven. That's God's way. Man's way is, no, it can't be done. No, I don't want enough money, blah, 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 blah. That's the death spiral. God's spiral is faith. It's kindness. It's helping each other. It's saying good words. It's telling somebody, inspiring somebody with what you have to say. Honey, I love you with all my heart. You're the best thing ever. I'm so glad I'm married to you. As opposed to, I can't believe I'm married to you. Spend all my money. See, that's a death spiral, isn't it? But a life spiral is doing things God's way. He who has found a wife has found favor with the Lord. Honey, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. Nancy, you're the best thing that ever happened in my life. I know Jesus was the best thing, but she's a real close second. Okay.
Do you have the monitor in front?
No. Do I what?
The screen went away.
What that screen?
When you clicked it.
What screen went away?
The big one.
No, it's up there.
Thanks.
Lloyd, get your eyes checked.
Okay.
The backslider in heart, let's read it. The backslider in heart will have his fill of his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied with his. See? Sooner or later, you get so sick and tired. I got to move on. This is all rehearsal. Okay. Let's read together. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them. Okay? And we talked about this before, you know, that because if you're not a person of faith and you haven't received Christ as your Savior, you are what the Bible talks about as a person who looks at things one-dimensionally. You only see the superficial. You want to get more money? You got to be focused on that. Whereas the Bible says that actually, when you build the foundation of a good relationship with your wife and with your family, and you pray together, that if you seek God's kingdom and his ways first, everything else you need will be added unto you. The Bible says if you want to prosper, that the way to prosper is to, first of all, give away the first 10% to God and be generous and let him direct the rest of it. Well, that doesn't make any sense. That's ridiculous. That's counterintuitive. You can't have more if you give away. Oh, yeah. God's ways are not man's ways. Am I right? It always takes faith to live God's way. It always takes faith to get on that faith lift and go upwards instead of spiraling downwards. Man's way is deadly because he's motivated by the wrong things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. 1 John 2, we're going to read it in just a second. But this verse in the New Testament, as I said, I'm talking about the most basic truths that every human being needs to know, every Christian needs to know, if they're going to live a Christian life successfully. You need to know that God's got a way and man's got a way. And man's way is these three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Those three things sum up everything that motivates the human being in his natural state. If you're not a born-again, spirit-filled person right now, I can tell you right now that you are motivated by these three things. If you're a born-again person and you've received Christ as your Savior, I can tell you right now the Holy Spirit's inside of you working to get you to move aside from being motivated by these three things and be motivated by God's way. And so you feel the conflict inside of you. Anybody feeling any conflict? Two people. All right. I'll preach to you two. Lust of the flesh, we talked about last week, right? We talked about the lust of the flesh. Today we're talking about the lust of the eyes. Usually, those are often very confused, but I think today you'll see the difference between the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Let's read together 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. All right, and just what you see down below there is just a refresher of what I've been saying, is that when if everybody would do things God's way, this would be heaven on earth. Righteousness, by definition, is when you do something that's right, and if everybody did it all at the same time, it would make for a whole better world. As opposed to unrighteousness, if everybody did it at the same time, what would end up? Death, chaos, destruction. Everybody ran the red lights and said, they don't pertain to me, right? So righteousness is when something and a decision that you'd make, when it's always right, it will always lead to a better life. Now, that's why it says that if you follow the will of God, that will go on forever. That produces foreverness. But if you're following after the world and the lust of the world, that's a downward spiral and leads to death. The lust of the flesh was last week, and we talked about lust simply being the word epithumia, right? What's epi mean? Huh? Hyper, above board. And thumia is just the word for desire. So epithumia is hyper desire, right? Or desire or passion on steroids. So it's going overboard. And so now we're going to talk about lust of the eyes, because lust, again, epithumia, is when a desire has gone overboard or gone beyond boundaries that are correct. Let's read together Proverbs 27:20. Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, nor are the eyes of man ever satisfied. Interesting, isn't it, that we are right now just finished up Thanksgiving and coming into Christmas? Back when I was young in the ministry, I was really anti-Christmas, wasn't I, Nancy? She just smiles. I was, you know, Carol, you probably remember me back in those days. Remember me back in those days, Carol? And because of the materialism, I just felt, you know, it had just gone overboard. It was just the whole thing about putting Jesus' name to it just seemed a little bit ridiculous to me or hypocritical. I've softened up a lot. I don't really make a crusade of it anymore. It is what it is. We use Christmas to reach out to lost people, have a big Christmas Eve celebration, preach the gospel. But the reality is that we live in a tremendously, we live in a culture that the Bible says that Satan is actually the Lord of this culture. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I want to go there. Satan, in the Garden of Eden, what did he use to tempt Eve and then Adam? A tree. Tree of fruit, right? What was Eve doing when Satan walks up to her? What was she doing? She was looking at the fruit of the tree and admiring how beautiful it was. Wow, not a wormhole in this. This would really be tasty. So Satan comes along and says, hey, why don't you just eat it? She says, oh no, it's forbidden. I couldn't ever eat that. God said if we eat it, we'll die. And he says, surely you won't die. He knows that your eyes will be opened and you will see what he sees. And she looked at the fruit again with her eyes and she saw that the fruit was good to eat. Do you ever think about the fact that in that Genesis passage, the words eyes, look, and saw are used over and over and over again? Do you know why? Because the eye is the main tool that Satan uses to lead us where he wants us to go, to lead us in the way he wants us to go. He has led our entire culture into the way of a materialistic orgy. Amen. And hey, I got an email this, I was just last night, if I hadn't done this message, I probably would have fell for it. I got an email from Ben's Classic Firearms, and it's advertising this, and I'm looking at this, wow, is that really cool? It fits into an AR and it shoots 22 long range. I gotta have that. Right, I got an email. I saw it with my eyes. Right, I clicked on the links, and my eyes looked at it, and I went all the way to the cart. I was in the checkout cart with that, and I was like, "No, man, I've been led here. I've been led here, right?" But the link was what? They sent me an email that I saw with my eyes, but my eyes are connected to my heart, my seat of desire, and somehow by showing me this thing, it made me want it, and I almost fell for it. You might think, wow, Rick, you're really something. Well, I'd hate to have to tell you how many times I did fall for it, but that time I didn't. All right. Ecclesiastes 11:9b. Let's read it together. You can follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes, yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. And Jesus said that the eye is the lamp of the body. Let's read it together. The eye is the lamp of your body, and when your eye is clear, your whole body also is full of light. But when it is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Here's a lamp. I brought a lamp. I brought a 2018 lamp, right? If this was dark in here, you'd be able to see, right? This doesn't help a whole lot here, but if it was dark outside, it would get you home, right? How many of you here go out in the dark? You carry a light with you? Yeah, you carry a light because it's a bummer not being able to see. The light shows us the way to go. Why? Because your eyes have to see where you're going to go. That's why the eye is the lamp of the body, because whatever your eyes see, that's where you're going to go. Your eyes see first, and that's where you go. That's why the eye is the lamp of the body. Now, The thing that you got to understand is that the Bible talks about the eyes as the lamp of the body because it's connected to the heart, which is the seat of your desire. So the eyes have this connection to your heart, which is this. Now, I'm not talking about your physical heart. Boom, boom, boom. I'm talking about the seat of your desire that motivates you to do things. So your eyes have got to see something for your body to follow and follow through on something. Now, here's examples of a bad eye. Looking at the wrong things, right? Wrong motivation / agenda / assumptions. Skewed worldview. Poor abusive previous life. Bad company, peers, friends. All those things are examples of a bad eye that makes us look at things in a skewed perspective. For example, here's this proverb: a scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none. Well, what do you mean? He's looking for wisdom. Why can't he find any? Because he's got an agenda. Because he's already decided he can't trust anybody. So no matter what anybody says to him, yeah, well, anybody know anybody like that? No matter what you say, they got an answer for you? Yes, but, well, yeah, but, right? He's already got an agenda. That's a bad eye. It's a bad eye that's clouded his ability in his heart to be able to see and understand somebody else's perspective. Here's more bad eyes the Bible talks about. Haughty eyes and a proud heart. The lamp of the wicked is sin. We'll be talking more about that next week, the boastful pride of life. Here's one. Jesus said, is your eye envious because I am generous? An envious eye sees what somebody else has, right, and wants it. And then an evil eye, a man with an evil eye, hastens after wealth and does not know that wealth, that want will come upon him. So haughty eye, envious eye, evil eye, it's not that the eye itself, you know, you pull it out here and, well, there's an evil eye. It's not that. It's that eye itself represents an agenda in the person's heart that's keeping them from understanding and following through with their actions in a godly way. It's keeping them from living God's way. A closed eyes equals a closed heart. I like that Ted prayed in his prayer. Lord, I pray that the folks will have open hearts, that they'll open, that you will open their eyes so that they can see. You know, and you're like, well, should I open my eyes now? Or what's he talking about there? He's talking about the spiritual eyes of the heart. There's a connection that you can either see truth or you can't see truth, depending on what your agenda is, what's your assumptions, what's your worldview. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your father, saying, go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but won't understand. You'll keep on seeing, but will not perceive. Why would that be the case? What would make that happen to you? How could you be hearing me right now, but not understanding what I'm saying? Huh? Your eye is clear, but that's all symbolism. What does it really mean? If your eye is cloudy, you don't want to change. No, you're content with the way things are, right? You're closed off. Don't want to hear it. No, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I've got an agenda. I'm going to stick to it. I got assumptions. They're good for me. Eyes in the Bible symbolize what we focus on, what we want, the way we want our life to go. We choose what we see. You choose what you see. Let's read together from Matthew 13. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see. See, they would understand with their heart and return. So your heart is your seat of desire. What do you really want? Do you really want the abundant life that God offers? Do you really want to live God's way? Do you really want to change and say, I don't want to live that way anymore, I want to live God's way? Because if you want, then you can have it. Here's the truth. We go the way we are looking. So choose carefully what you look at. I thought that was kind of a funny little picture there, right? You guys probably all got slapped already doing that. No? Nobody's going to admit it, I guess. Our last slide was, we choose what we look at. Now this guy, this poor guy here, I mean, you know, hey. You know, we don't know when this picture was snapped, but it was probably, you know, I mean, maybe, I don't know. But, I mean, most guys can't really help but turn around and look. Because that's how our eyes are made. If we, like, turn around and stare, now we've made a choice. Am I right? Now we've made a decision. You see the difference? Our eyes are made to see. Our eyes are made to see things that would be good for us and that would be pleasurable for us. But God's way is that when it comes to this, God's way is that you have someone that you love, that you're committed to, and that you cherish with all of your heart. And when you find your eyes going the wrong way, whoa, what am I doing there? Stupid, right? You don't just keep doing it, right? Why? Because wherever our eyes are looking at, that's where we, what? Go. That's where we go. So you have to choose what you're going to look at.
Maddening for everyone else, it is an epidemic, texting while walking. And tonight, one town is saying it's time to level fines against people who walk into the streets heads down, everybody else trying to dodge them. And new videos show it is more than just a nuisance. Here's ABC's Dan Harris.
Texting and walking, that thoroughly modern epidemic. Look at this guy walk into a wall, or this woman walk into a mall water fountain. And check this out, a bear on the loose, and this man texting almost walks right into him. The videos are funny, but the problem is serious. According to the most recent numbers, more than 1,000 people went to emergency rooms because they got hurt while walking and distracted on the phone. Double the year before, which was double the year before that. Bonnie Miller walked off this pier into Lake Michigan and had to be rescued by the Coast Guard.
I couldn't let pride stand in my way of warning other people, you know, to not drive and text or walk and text. It can be dangerous.
Now in Fort Lee, New...
Walked off a pier. I had a laugh when I saw that. I mean, but I have to admit, I have driven off the side of the road already. Anybody else ever driven off the side of the road while you're texting? Yeah. It's, why? Because what we're looking at is where we go. The eyes, you know, this message is not about don't text and drive or don't text and walk. It's not about that. It's just making the point that where your eyes are, that's where your body goes. And where your body goes is what you do, and that's who you are, and that's where you're going to accomplish, and that's what your life's going to end up being. So God's way is to have a good vision of where you want to go, know why you want to go there, and keep your eyes on the prize. Let's read together some of these verses here. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the hearts. Where there's no vision, the word there, perish, is actually languish. God's way is to have a vision. You understand, right, that vision is a function of the eyes? And tonight we're talking about what? The eyes. And the lust of the eyes. The overboard desires of the eyes and how they can cause us to become ensnared to Satan's plan for us and his destination. Whereas God's use of the eye is to get us to go his direction and end up in his destination, which is abundant and good and prosperous life. And so our vision needs to be what we want our life to be. What do you want of your life? Because where there's no vision, the people languish. Okay, I already went over this, so I'm not going to go over this again. But the eyes are the main way that Satan snares us, because the eyes direct our heart, our seat of desire. There's the scriptures from Genesis 3. Satan wants to get a hold of our eyes, and he wants to tell us what our vision should be. What should your vision be? He wants to tell you what that should be, so that he can control you and pull you around, as opposed to you having this relationship with Jesus Christ and with your spouse, and in your heart you love God, and through prayer and through talking you come up with an idea of what I want my life to be like. What do I want my life to be like? Where do I want to go with my life? That becomes your vision. And I know, you know, you hear me talk about this a lot because it's so basic and so foundational, but I'm afraid nobody's doing it. That's what I'm afraid. I'm afraid nobody's doing it. And I'm telling you, this really works. It really works for you to spend the time with God, have a journal, and write down what you believe God wants for your life. Because that becomes your vision, and that's what your eyes become focused on, and where your eyes are, that's where you go. And if you don't have your eyes on something that you believe you've got from God, I can tell you who's going to put something in front of your eyes. It's the devil. It's the culture. It's the world. And they're going to tell you what your life should be like. They're going to tell you what you should have. They're going to tell you what's going to fulfill you. If you get this hairdo, if you get this car, if you get this house, if you get, you know, all the stuff that they say, if you have this, then you'll be happy. That's the world pulling you around by your nose. Or by your eyes, actually. They've got it, so I want it too. In fact, they've got it, so I want one up on them. Now, what does God say is best for you? What's his perfect will for you? Okay. Satan knows his control over us depends on his keeping the wrong things in front of our eyes. I don't want to be misunderstood. I'm not saying that, you know, because, I mean, we're being bombarded. We sit and watch a football game or whatever it is, and we're going to see, like, you know, hundreds of things flash in front of us that will make our life better. Am I right? And I'm not saying that that's evil. I'm just saying that that's not God's way of helping us have a good life. That's Satan's way, flashing in front of us alternatives to get us to keep busy and chasing after things rather than get our eyes on the things that we've heard from God in private and that we know is his will for our life. I might need a cough drop. I don't see any up here. Usually there's a bag of them up here. Oh, here's a bag of them up here. Forgive me. It's not that bad. Last night I woke up with a sore throat, so. Let's give me a chance to get my throat. I got a little excited, started shouting there. All right. Exactly. In fact, the eyes are the main sense that he uses. We know that from Genesis 3. We know from all the New Testament scriptures. He mainly uses our eyes to direct us where he wants us to go. You need to understand that there is a connection between your physical eyes and your spiritual heart. There's a connection there. What's that? I'm sorry? The blind are blessed. There you go. No, the spiritually seeing are blessed. Let's read together 2 Timothy 2. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been led captive, having been held captive by him to do his will. Eyesight's one of the senses, am I right? You bet it is. We have to come to our senses. We have to come to the proper use of the main sense that God has given us to lead us in the right direction. And that's our eyes. Because they are connected to your heart. So my question is, how is your physical, spiritual sight, your eye, your heart connection? How is it? What are your eyes / heart set upon? Proverbs 23:26 says, let your eyes delight in my ways. Let my teaching be the apple of your eye. Hebrews 12, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. The Bible tells us what we should fix our eyes on. In our second one, I talked about reading the Proverbs, your daily proverb. That's fixing your eyes on God's teachings. Reading it. Get your journal open. Write down, today, God, I'm fixing my eyes on. Today, God, this is what I'm going to do. And as you write that down, your eyes become fixed on what you believe that God wants you to do that day. And if your eyes see it, guess where your body will go? That's the way they'll go. Even though you might get some distractions, nevertheless, your eyes will always come back to that because that's where your heart is. So God's way to beat the lust of the eyes. Together, Ephesians 1:18, together and aloud. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See, spiritual sight allows you to be able to see with your heart this wonderful relationship that you have with God the Father. And when you have that understanding, that lifts you because you realize that God, that nothing is impossible with him. There's no reason to fight over money. There's no reason to fight over anything because God is good. All you got to do is pray with each other. All you got to do is say, well, let's just pray and work together and let's see what God does. There's no reason for all this fussing and fighting and hurting each other. That's the spiral down. That's man's way. God's way is, yes, of course, my heart have been enlightened. I see now how big God is. I see now how wonderful God is. I see the riches of glory I have in my inheritance as a son, as his daughter. I see now who I am in Christ. My word, what am I fighting over? Why am I worried? What a wonderful God I have. Every bit of fussing and fighting and all that is because we don't know. Our heart, eyes have not been enlightened to how wonderful God is and how great we've got as his child. Man. Okay. So, what do I do? Ask Jesus Christ to heal your eyes so you can see what is the right way, so you can walk in the right way. Revelation 3 is a really scary chapter of Revelation. It's scary because Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, is talking to seven churches. And what he has to say to them is scary. Because even though they say they believe in him, they're not living his way. They're not walking his way. But what's he say to them? Together and aloud, buy from me, to glorify Jesus in heaven, eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. Our prayer here, everybody's prayer here should be, Lord Jesus, anoint my eyes with your salve so I can see things the way you see them. Let's just say it together. Pray this with me after me, would you please? Lord Jesus, I ask you to heal my eyes so I can see what you see. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. See, that's spiritual sight. Do you understand that most people that you're going to come into contact with are going to go to hell? They need to know Jesus. They need to know Jesus by knowing you. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my way. How to keep your eyes on where you want to go. We already told you, but I'm going to tell you again. Write it down. Write it down. Let's read together Habakkuk 2:2. And the Lord answered and said, record the vision, what you see in your heart. I put that in. What you see in your heart. Remember I talked about spending time with God, saying, Lord, what is it? Lord, put your desires in my heart. My favorite psalm, Psalm 34, 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What does that really mean? It means you can say, Lord, I love you. I love your ways. Lord, put in my heart what I should desire. I don't even know what's best for me. I don't even know. Lord, put in my heart the desires. See, most of us read that and we say, well, that means he'll give me whatever I want. What it really means is, no, he'll put in your heart the right desires. God knows better than you will make you happy. Whether it be the person that you marry, whether it be the home that you live in, whether it be the career or job that you have, how you make money, God knows better than you do what will fulfill you and make you happy. Have you ever sat down and said, Lord, put in my heart the right desires? Because I want to see them. Because as I see them, that's the direction I'm going to go. Record the vision, inscribe it on tablets. I should have had tablets to hand out tonight. That the one who reads it may run. Remember I said, whatever we're looking at, where do we go? What our eyes are looking at. The way that you get God's way and his perfect will for your life inscribed on your heart is to ask him to put it there. Ask him to heal the eyes of your heart so that you can see what the absolute best is that he wants you to have in your life. Write it down. Put it somewhere where you can see it. And because you are reading it, you will run with it. And you'll find out that the way that you are going will take you to God's perfect will for your life. That works. Nobody ever sits down and says, well, today I'm going to text and drive and run into the back of the car in front of me. Anybody write that down? Is that your vision for your future? Today I'm going to be mean to my wife so I can ruin my marriage. Are you wondering what's the point here? Do you see the point? These are man's natural ways. This is the death spiral. This is what we do naturally. The way that we don't do these things is that we write down what we're going to do. Today, I'm going to not text and drive, and keep my eyes on the road. Today, I'm going to be kind toward my wife, toward my husband, and tell them just how much I love them and how glad I am that I have them in my life. Today, I'm going to resist buying stuff that I haven't planned for, and I'm not going to be led around by the eyes of whatever I see. Today, you write these things down, and next thing you know, you're doing it. But when you don't write them down, you find yourself falling back and doing the very thing that you know you shouldn't be doing. Because God's ways are not man's ways. Man's ways are death. And that's it. We could just bow our eyes, bow our heads, and close our eyes for a moment. I wonder if there's someone here tonight who has never made the decision. Come on up, music team, if you would, please. If you've never made that decision to give your heart to Jesus Christ, you've never made that decision to give your life to Him so that you can live His way and experience the abundant life that He has for you. You've never made that decision. If you could just look up at me and let our eyes meet, that tonight's the night that you're making that decision. I want to live my life Jesus' way. I don't want to be led around by what everybody else is following. I want to be led around by what Jesus says. Anybody here today making that decision? Okay. I would like to lead us in a prayer tonight where we simply are asking the Lord Jesus. We already asked Him to anoint our eyes so that we could see what He sees. But I want to lead us in a prayer tonight where we ask Him to enlighten the eyes of our heart so that we do not follow the lust of the eyes, but rather our eyes follow His ways. Please pray this with me together and out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, I don't want to be led by the lust of my eyes. I want to be led by the eyes of my heart that have been enlightened by You. Show me the way to live, Lord. Show me Your perfect will for my life. Show me the way to live that life, the way that brings abundance and joy and peace. And Lord, as a result, I will walk in that way. And I will have the abundant life that You came to bring me. In Jesus' name, amen.